How are we all doing? We're all having a great day. Welcome back. Wednesday. Just waiting on Luke arriving, right? I had to push the times back for a reason that no longer exists. It's been one of those. Also, I'm setting up some new sections on StreamYard. So we're missing some overlays. But like I say, we've finally got a little bit of music. Let me know if you guys are hearing all of this. Let me know if it's coming through okay. I'm trying to get my lighting sorted finally as well. Hope everyone's doing well. Hope you're all doing very, very well. Give me a few minutes, less than a minute, and I'll be right with you. I'd say this tune is a banger. It's like a Bond theme or something. Look at it. Let me know if music is this okay volume-wise, music-wise? That's probably better, right? Hope everyone's doing well. I'm just waiting on Luke, and before we begin, I would like to say tonight we have got a can theory. Oh, wow. A can theory. And the wonderful Julia is coming to join us. We're going to have a little chitty chat about some things. And really, I just hope you're all doing good. You know, one thing I wanted to talk to you about, right? And it might sound a bit silly, but I've been thinking a lot about life in general and taking things for granted, not appreciating what we have, and in some cases, not really knowing what we have until, you know, whatever, something happens or, you know, you come to your senses or you realize something. And I don't often think people are just grateful for life, for the things they have, for the friends they have, for the family they have, for all these things. And I've been thinking about it a lot recently. And I just wanted to mention that. Because I think we can all just sort of take a minute to be thankful for what we have. And I don't mean this in some freaking religious, I just had a flash of myself standing in the street with like a freaking Bible being like, be grateful, right? That's not what I'm saying, right? I'm just saying every now and again, it doesn't hurt, just look at yourself and be grateful for everything that you have. Because it's a harsh reality that it could all be gone for any of us. And yeah, I just wanted to start off with that. So, how are all you guys? How are you? How are you listening? What's been going on with you? Tell me in the side chat while we wait for Luke. Luke's going to be about 10 minutes, I think. Yeah, step back and reflect. There you go. There we go. Hitting that goddamn D20 hard. Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, that's the one. And it's been interesting. Also, content. A lot of you will know that I've been... This is a terrible song. This is a terrible, it's also a terrible song. It's a terrible song. With this one. Oh, not that one either. Okay, so new content. Right, a lot of you have heard me talking about We Are Monsters, this true crime, ARG, living graphic novel world from within my brain. And you maybe have heard me talking about it comes down to, when you have no budget, it comes down to execution and storytelling. And I'm telling you, man, the last couple of weeks, ideas and everything that's come together, it's super excited. I'm actually now, I think I found my first location, right, where I'm actually putting together a tiny little film shoot, right, with like a legit member of I've got a cast, something. It's wild. It's exciting. No budget. Pulling this all out of my bags. So I think tonight, I do believe, Desolate One, we are looking at when they were caught and how the Moors murderers got caught. I think that's what's going down today. If anyone is here from a Reddit group that emailed me, how you doing? Would love to have anyone on who is an expert in the case or has an insight or anything like that. And I hope you understand from my point of view, this is very much a deep dive. I'm learning along. I know the case, all right? I know the horrible things. But that's sort of where my knowledge ended. I never really dipped more. So I'm excited to continue. So I just sat and watched my engagement video again. I don't know if you've all seen it, but it's just amazing when you have a little moment and you can look back on it. And it's so random. I often think how we're this weird generation of humans now that when we pass over, when we're no longer here, right, there is this huge relic of our life left in content form. And it's kind of wild, you know, it's kind of wild to think about, because, you know, grandkids, kids, future relatives, future people looking back on a generation of people that were really the first, you know, generation of people to do this sort of thing. And it's going to be an interesting future. Oh, wow. Yeah, I can. Hang on a second. Let me just take a picture of this right now and send it to him right now, because otherwise I will forget. Okay, done. That is now in Mr. Atwood's DMs. Okay, really, the Moors murders have cast such a shadow looking at the general streetscape, etc. It seems almost an anti. Yeah, that's really interesting. That's really well put. Yeah. It is almost like a different world when we look back. And in full essence, clothes, hairstyle. But again, you're going to be telling me we can all, you know, do that with every decade. But there's been such a massive change from, you know, the world from then till now. And yeah, it's a good point. It's a good point. So apparently the music just doesn't go on to the next song. What is the point in that? What is the point in that? All right, you know what? We're just going to turn this off. We're getting carried away. But we've got a lot of stuff happening. So We Are Monsters, that new content's happening. But with regards to me and John Wedger, crime theories, we've got some really exciting stuff that's all in the pipeline. We're now at the stage where we're waiting on people emailing us back to confirm days and times. And we're sort of growing the little podcast, man. It's exciting. It really is exciting. These guests are major in their fields as well. In fact, we're sort of starting off a bit high. Like, if we have anyone else in those professions, it's like a step down in some sense. So, oh yeah. Yeah. Okay. Sweet. I don't know who Danny Jones is, but it sounds great. I love all that stuff. Now we do have some sort of off the topic, more kind of exactly what you're talking about there. Hybrids and alien scientists and all this kind of stuff. Tying in with an interview that I'm doing that regards a dog man and an attack that took place, and I'm so excited for this. Right, it's hope. It should feel like you're in a room listening to this guy, like the Nico series that I've done. That's what I'm hoping, because it's a banger. And what the hell else? Oh, Gary, do you remember Gary that came on? Policeman Gary. I'm putting together a plan for his whole block of evidence to be done in chapters, right? So that then we can go on and dial in on individuals in the story, with people being able to go back and watch the references that Gary will reference, so that it's not 20 minutes of preload before he goes on to his point. And I think that's where Gary's story's not got traction, because there is so much literal PowerPoint presentation to go with it. And I'm excited about it. I am excited. So, yeah, hopefully Luke won't be too much longer, and we'll get cracking. But again, I just wanted to chat a little bit about, you know, being grateful, gratitude, all of that. Rewatching back that engagement day, watching back the gender reveals and things like this, it's just freaking awesome. All right, it's just the shizness. So it's been a good one. But I hope you are all well. Okay, let me know what you guys enjoy about the true crime stuff. Let me know what you guys want to see some more of. And then what I'll do is I'll star them all and maybe put up a vote on Sean's channel and see which one gets the most vote for us to focus on. I'm really driven just now to dial in on exactly what you guys are after. So, yeah. But sometimes that involves just throwing a bunch of stuff at the wall and seeing what works. So be prepared for that. And our Discord, we have an awesome community, right? We really do. I'm going to put a link up just now. And anyone who wants to come and join, you're very, very welcome to. We're good people, a good mixture of people, and we'd freaking love to have you there. Let me just generate a new link. And I'll just pop it right here for you guys. So, see, do you know what? I'm more into the big cats right now in Scotland. I've always been obsessed. Was Gary the policeman? That, yes, Linda. I've been upset. I love all the stuff that's not meant to be there that people say is there. All right, I love all of it. Nessie, Bigfoot, freaking all of it. Okay, pixies, elves, fairies, don't care. Give me it all. So I don't know about the dogman sightings in the UK. I'm sure there's a lot of mythology and a lot of it. I've certainly not dived into it, but I may take a dabble for sure. But let me know what you guys are thinking. Let me know you guys what you want to see while we chit-chat and wait for our wonderful storyteller. Let me just see. 1 second. Big cats. Yeah, that's what I think, because there's so many sightings, and there's so much, you know, food, you know, carcasses and things that are just unexplainable. But in saying that, wild Scotland's a bit mad, right? Like, it's a bit mad, mate. It's really old and really, really old, ancient forests and places. They are mad. And you can agree with me or not, but trust me, these things, it's very much a different vibe from, you know, a modern forest planted in rows, like pine trees planted in rows, or do you know what I'm saying? What's happening, my G?
Can you see me?
I can't see you. But I have found new settings that turns us into circles or tiny squares.
So it could be a you problem, Ron.
No, it's not me. It's never a me problem.
It's never a you problem.
Never a me problem, mate.
How are you? You okay?
I still can't see you. Your camera is nanus operatus.
Camera is on, Ron.
Okay, then. If you look at the stream, you'll see the camera's not. Maybe rejoin again. Just drop out and rejoin me. That usually fixes all the bugs, if you know what I'm saying. And now it's just me. Oh yeah, look at this though. I can be a circle. Bam. So yeah, I figured out that Sean and I and all the shows can have individual sets, like brand settings on here. And I'm just trying to, and saying that I only did this because of the music, and the music doesn't play. So we've got to go back to square one with the music. It's, I want to freaking hit play every time. I mean,
we sorted the bug.
We did. You are a genius, my G. A genius.
Bug thought, how are you? How are you doing? How is everybody?
I'm awesome. Like, I'll be honest with you. I am doing good. Everything is good. Everything is good. Yeah. How about you?
I'm not gonna lie to you, I'm a little bit tender today. I was walking past a pub last night and I fell into it.
Wait, you fell into a pub?
I fell into the pub and then ended up drinking loads of IPA and...
Classic.
Pineapple rum and... I'll tell you what's a nice drink. Pineapple rum with pineapple juice. You heard it here first.
Oh, Okay. I mean, I can imagine it is pretty good. I don't know what I'm doing here. I keep pushing buttons. I also don't like
have you got some new settings going on here? Hello to everyone in the chat, by the way. Hello to Jenny, one of my moderators. Hope everyone is doing well on this. Is it, what's the weather like down there? Because it's crap where I am.
Mate, winter is here. Like, winter has arrived. There's no messing about. Winter is here.
We never really got a summer, did we? So
no.
It's like we've always had kind of a full year of winter.
Winter starts and then stops. Then summer comes back so hot that pensioners die. And then winter comes back with a vengeance. That's usually how Scotland goes. I don't know how everybody else is, but that is how our definitely nothing to do with any geological or, you know, things that we are doing to the planet. I just want to say, but it's a madness. So
it keeps off and on raining today. I'm in a conservatory, so if it sounds like dead birds are hitting the ceiling, then that's the rain coming down.
Dead birds hitting the ceiling,
because that's what it stops when it rains. In this conservatory, it's like...
Yeah, I've got a psycho squirrel that is getting into my loft somehow, and it is off its nut. So it
where are we up to then, Ron?
Well, we're starting off with how the two of them, Myra Hindley and Brian, got caught. You know, what led up to their capture. And that's really where we are, mate. So let's sort of.
I want to apologize for Ron ending the stream early. Like, I'm joking. I want to apologize for me ending the stream early last week.
Yeah, that's all right. It was the second time it had happened that week by noobs on my panel. So don't worry. It's all good. It's all good.
Well, I've learned not what to press. Now, anyway, so I've actually kind of got a little bit of a plan here for this one. I do for everything, but it's okay. For this part in particular. And what it does is I want to just recap over the first four murders, the first four victims, who they were, where they were taken from, because we did speak about it briefly last week.
Sure.
And then lead on to the fifth and final murder, which would become Brady's big mistake and the beginning of the end for Brady and Hindley, and the beginning of the end for the Moores murders. Now, I did release a video the other day which links in with the someone important I'm going to speak about in today's video called Dave Smith. You might have mentioned him already. Dave Smith he's basically the chief prosecution witness who put an end to it all, basically.
All right.
So, firstly, well, let's just recap on the first four victims. You've got Pauline Reed, John Kilbride, Leslie Ann Downey, and Keith Bennett. By the way, I do want to say as well, I think you'll like this, Ron. I got a message the other day from John Kilbride's niece.
Okay.
So, the second from the right, which is the friend I know, John's brother, Terry, his daughter. Okay. And she watched it. She watched last week and she said what a really, really good video it was. So,
that's great. So thank you so much.
The Kilbride family are behind this kind of series. Do you know what I mean? So that's
awesome. Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate that. And hopefully we continue to do it justice, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I briefly chatted to Alan Bennett as well. Not about this. He's a very, very private man. About something else. I've chatted to a couple of the family... victim's family members this week, but yeah, really nice comment from one of John's nieces. So
yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, if we briefly kind of go over the Pauline Reed murder was the first one. Pauline was, we did talk about it last week, so we'll just kind of skirt over it. Pauline Reed was actually known to Myra. She's on that far right. She was known to Myra Hindley, and so she's quite easy to, obviously, for Myra to gain the trust. And she was on the way. Look at that picture. It gives me chills, man.
Yeah, it's serious creepenstein.
It's grim, isn't it? Grim. She was on the way to a dance, and she thought that her friends had actually, like, pulled out Pauline, and they didn't. They were going to surprise her. So Pauline was on her own. And Myra pulled up and said, come on, get in. I'll give you a lift. Pauline's going to do that because it's a friend. And she said, can you come and help me find a glove? There's a lot of gloves related to this.
Okay.
Can you help me find a glove on the moor? Which wouldn't have been too far from
I mean, it's one of those things of the time, really, isn't it? I mean, for all we know, that's their version of, hey, I've lost my dog, can you help me look for it? And it was a common thing back then, you know, hey, help me find my glove.
I've lost my phone.
That's a much better one. Yes, 100%.
I've lost my iPhone. Other phones are available, by the way. Right. So she got in the car and she went up to the moors with Myra. This is, we only ever really have the accounts of Myra and Brady.
Yeah.
With the murders, apart from the final one, which is where I'm going to end this part. I think we're going to have to make this a four-part and not a three-parter, by the way.
Oh, hey. All good.
Which is happy days. So, Pauline was took up to the moors, and then the account from Myra was that she got out of the car and Brady was there, and he took her into the moors, and Myra didn't see any of this because Myra never saw any of it, that in her words. And whatever happened to Pauline happened, don't know the details, but she was killed, probably assaulted, sexually assaulted, and buried in a shallow grave, not to be found for a long time. But I'm going to kind of save that for later on in the series, the uncoverings and the bodies being found and all that kind of stuff. So that's poor Pauline. Then we're moving on to John Kilbride, the victim whose family I'm friends with. Now, John, look at him digging up the moors there. John was working on Ashton Market. Ashton is just outside of Manchester, and he was just collecting, just moving boxes, really, to try and make some money. And he'd give half to his mum and keep half for himself. And he went to the cinema, then went to, and this is all first hand account from Terry, by the way.
Yeah. Okay.
You've shown the video on the channel of me interviewing Terry. This is all first hand account from him. He went to the cinema, never came back. And this is the thing about Myra and Brady, is that she lured all the kids in because she was this blonde woman in her 20s. Do you know what I mean?
That was the tool that really made the whole situation so deadly, was the fact that we're within that era, of course. Like that era, with it being a woman and the children being young, it's a perfect storm for horrific manipulation.
Yeah, just need a sugary drink as well for my my drinking session when I fell into that pub. I just got blown into it. It was crazy, and I couldn't leave. If you look at that picture there, like obviously the Myra you see there, which we'll get into that in a bit with Dave Smith's account. She obviously wouldn't have been looking like that when she's approaching the kids. She would have had the sweet. Someone, I'm reading a comment about Dave Smith. We'll talk about Dave Smith. So she wouldn't have obviously looked like that. She would have been all like sweet and nice. And she got, they were all warned back in the day not to go off with strange men, not strange women. So she asked John if he would help her move some boxes into the car. And John did. John was a good lad. John was a nice, helpful lad. And he got into the car, drove off to the moors, of course. And he was sexually assaulted. And they tried to cut hair. The knife was too blunt. And he was strangled with either a piece of string or one of his own shoelaces. Brady did sadly assault John sexually, and he was buried on the moor. And then we've got Leslie Ann, which is probably the saddest, really, because she was only 10, and she was at a Boxing Day fair in Ancoats in Manchester, and her brother was supposed to take her, but he came down with flu-like symptoms. So I've met him once, such a broken man. And he was supposed to take her, but he couldn't because of his illness. So she went with a Leslie's mother arranged that she went with a family friend. And what Myra did, she's so sick, Myra. She went near Leslie. Again, this is Myra. Brady's hidden in the shadows. And she spilled a bag of shopping most intentionally near Leslie. Can you
Okay.
help me? Oh, can you help me, please, love? You know, all
Yeah.
that. Leslie's helping. They must spot the ones that look like kind and caring. Leslie does that, and there's an eyewitness saying that he saw Leslie being walked away. He didn't know, obviously, she was being took away by the Moors murderers, but she was took
Yeah.
away. And this was one of the first ones, I believe, because it's recorded, where she was actually took back to the house first, and they had a reel-to-reel tape player, and that it's not out there. She's never been out there, and nobody wants that out there because the transcript is bad enough.
Yeah.
I mentioned it last week, but obviously we're just recapping. It's Myra saying unspeakable things, and shut your mouth or I'll lose myself and I'll hit you one. And she starts calling Myra mummy and Brady daddy.
It's sad. It's a really sad document to even just gaze through, and it really sets the tone.
Have you seen the transcript? That's nasty. So those fully grown policemen, years experience in court listening to this, and a lot of them have said that they were bawling their eyes out. They've
Yeah,
never
of
gotten
course.
they've never gotten over it. It's scarred them. So the transcript is bad enough. And she was pleading and she was calling Myra mummy and Brady
Yeah.
daddy. And if you let me go, I won't say anything. That you
Yeah.
know, let me go and I won't tell anybody.
You're begging for a little life.
Yeah,
It's
they
horrific.
took photographs of her in poses.
Did they do anything like that to any of the other victims?
Well, no, they didn't document. So I'm going to go into in part three. I'm going to go into all the evidence and stuff like
And who was the last victim?
that. Well, that is the last one was Edward Evans, and that's what will kind of end this
Okay,
part.
carry on,
It's
carry on. I'm listening.
fascinating, this one,
Yeah, I'm with you.
the Edward Evans one. But no others were documented or recorded or pictures took. Just Leslie, because again, all the evidence was uncovered in suitcases, so it was only Leslie. And she was it, yeah. She was on again, Saddleworth Moor. Keith Bennett, moving on to Keith Bennett, the one that was the first lad there, you can see.
Yeah.
Another sad thing as well is what his mum always said. What really like got to her, apart from the fact that he was missing, was that he didn't have those glasses broke the day before. So if I didn't have these, I could get about for a bit, but then I'd be a bit buggered after a while. So he didn't have them, and that got to her in those early days. Just push this table back a little bit. That got to her in those early days, when he was just missing, because you don't think of the worst at the time.
Of course,
And
yeah.
he was just took off a street. I think he was on his way to his nana's, and he was took, and he is somewhere on the moor. Alan Bennett, his brother, leads up that search team. He does his own thing. He's a very private man, and he's got his own kind of operations going on up there. So yeah, like I said, I did speak to him briefly the other day. He advises people to not go up there and search, really. And
Yeah,
that might
okay.
sound counterproductive, but what I've learned through him is that if you just go about and you've got a hunch and you put a spade in the ground or whatever, you may, because it's been so many years, you may get a fragment of his body, and you could just throw it like
Yeah,
over you,
be spread
and
around.
he'd be spread around. Yeah, so hopefully with technology over time, you could just, working with like like say like the work I've done with Peter Ford, and he's got the ground penetrating radar. Yeah. Maybe one day there'll be a super version that can scan it. Yeah. More.
Well, this is it, and
I mean,
I think that would bring justice to a lot of cases, if I'm being honest. So take us to the next stage of this story. I mean,
right? Okay, so we'll lead on to the fifth and final murder.
Sure.
And this would become Brady's big mistake and the beginning of the end, basically. So, basically, there's a man called Dave Smith, right? Now, Dave Smith was with Myra's sister, Maureen. And they had no kind of social interactions apart from a passing nod. And, just a nod and an all right kind of thing.
Yeah.
Until he married her, and then he got her pregnant at the age of 16. Both of them were very young. Now, Myra and Maureen, the sisters, both wanted Dave and Ian to get a little bit closer. Myra had her reasons behind it, dark ones, but it was from Ian. Ian wanted to get closer to him because basically, Ian Brady was trying to manipulate Dave into he wanted him to come into the Moores murders.
He was out recruiting more helping hands, more evil
not necessarily recruiting more, but the talk is for investigators and police and whatnot that they believe that he was getting tired of Myra.
Oh wow, okay.
Yeah. He was getting tired of Myra and Dave Smith, and I have got, if you just click onto my channel a moment, I could just show you, because people can check this out in more detail. There you go, the second one in. Oh, by the way, I'm interviewing Sean Atwood after this at 8:15.
Nice.
Everyone get over there, premieres at 8:15. But that video, witnessing an infamous murder right there, and I've got a timestamp for you in about 10 minutes' time to check out, okay? So, yeah, if you want to go and check out in more detail Dave's account, because he's the only person that ever saw a murder, right? And he has a fascinating but scary first-hand account. So Dave was have that ready, and I'll give you a timestamp shortly.
Yeah, sure, mate.
So Dave was he was a bit of a rogue. He was a bit of a rum, and he was known as the local kind of tough guy. What would you probably call him, like a scally now? Do you know what I mean? A scally or a chav or something like that. Now, Ian thought he could like extrapolate something from that, which he got completely wrong. Now, he was trying to manipulate him, and the four of them would go up on the Moors together, and Dave and Maureen just thought this was the place they liked to go. They didn't realise that they were going, standing on graves, like Brady would he'd make Dave stand in certain spots because he was standing on the graves. You know, Brady's getting some sick kick out of this.
I think we know that information and even something like making someone stand somewhere where they don't realize fully what's happening, that control of power is so prevalent with Brady once he's incarcerated, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Which we'll talk about down the line as well. When he went searching for Keith in the 80s, apparently he did a real long walk around the Moors, and at the end of it, he said to the police, he went, "We've walked over his grave."
Okay.
Sick, innit?
Yeah.
So they started spending more time together, and the four of them would sit at, they'd go to the Moors, and again, they didn't know why they were up there. They just thought it was this place they liked. They would get together at Myra and Ian Brady's house, and they'd drink, but the girls would often go to bed early. And that was when Brady would, like, sit down with Dave, and they'd listen to big band music and Hitler tapes, and it was an all-around bad atmosphere. There's Dave So you can see that that's him on the left. And
did you say Hitler tapes?
They were listening to big band music and Hitler tapes. Yeah.
Damn. All right.
Yeah, he was that way braided. Do you know what I mean? Everyone was maggots and beneath him.
Okay. All right. It's just emulation of the. Yeah, I'm with you. Carry on.
Yeah. So, one second.
Yeah, I would imagine Brady would want to emulate the power that he's seen from, you know, that era, shall we say.
Yeah. So, Ian found out that Dave was having financial difficulties. They had rent arrears and Dave and Maureen were going to get kicked out. And Dave needed money. So they started, Ian suggested that they robbed a bank. Okay.
Yeah.
And Dave was for this because he needed this money. Dave wasn't an angel, by the way, but, who is, but he needed this money and Ian Brady started producing guns and Dave admits, like, that's David Maureen, that's Mary's sister on the right. Dave okay. admits that these guns impressed him. These guns impressed Dave. And Dave was asked to go and scope the bank out on a Saturday. He came back and he said, there's only two staff. This should be quite easy. Anyway, something happened whereby it turned out that it wasn't so easy to do it. So Ian Brady had a different idea. And Brady's idea was to... One second. Oh, by the way, before I go into that, Brady told Dave that he'd killed people and he buried them on the moors and that Dave stood on the graves.
Oh, wow. And so
Dave laughed it off.
Did he mention that it was children that he was killing? Because I imagine...
No,
Dave's from the psychopath world, and I imagine that Dave's more like from the regular criminality world, robbing banks, yeah. And you know, even if it did come to something deadly, it would probably be a man, a thug, all of that kind of stuff. I'm not saying I know any of this about Dave, but you could say that he was the more traditional criminal out of the two.
A bit of petty crime. He's up for like potentially robbing a bank. Like I said, he was no angel. But the idea of robbing a bank went out the window for whatever reason. I can't fully remember why now, but they decided not to do it. And Ian said what he will do is there's a great drama called See No Evil, The Moors Murders. It's brilliant. It really captures it. Great. And who's in it now? Who plays? Sean Harris plays Brady, really good actor. Now, he had the idea to go down to Manchester to a gay district to pick up what he would describe as a businessman. And he would bring the businessman back to their house and Dave would be fetched. And they would rob him, basically. Okay. They would they'd rob this businessman, and that should help with his financial difficulties. Now, on the night when Ian went to get this businessman, it was Edward Evans, the final victim that he got. And if you pull up the victims again, I can show you Edward Evans. Right in the middle there.
There we go.
17-year-old apprentice. Now this is when it gets really, really dark, because when what you're gonna watch in a minute of Dave Smith's account himself, which is in much more detail on my channel. True. So the businessman was brought back and Myra was then summoned to go to Dave's flat with some BS like, oh, I need to leave a message for mum, to Maureen, to her sister.
Sure, yeah.
no phones really, or, you know, definitely not sending a WhatsApp, are they? So she went and said, oh, I've got a message for Mum. And Maureen's like, is that it? Is that all you're here for? Yeah, yeah, sorry. I know it's late, but anyway, Dave, can you walk me home? You with me? So she said, can you walk me home? And then Dave knew that he was going back to the house to rob this man. And when he walked into the house, if you go to 5:40 on that video.
Okay. Hang on a second. My side chat stopped working. Just give me a second here.
Yeah, no problem. Don't forget everyone to like this video. And also, you're all obviously Sean Atwood fans because you're all on this channel. At 8:15 on my channel, I'm premiering an interview that I did with Sean Atwood. Really good interview. And I asked him a few questions that I don't think he's been asked before. So please make sure you come and come over to my channel and check that out. And I'll be in the live chat for, you know, to get interactive. So 8:15 on Break the Ice. And if you're not subscribed, then please consider going checking it out.
Can you guys just type in the side chat for me?
Is it froze?
I don't know what's going on. If
you guys... I'll write something.
Yeah, write something.
Then again, it makes some odds, does it? If you can hear a bit of noise in the background, someone's making some food.
Making a brew.
We're gonna feed ourselves, aren't we? So how weird this when you're like on a video and then you go onto the channel and you like you see yourself on it, it's bizarre. Right. Part two.
Yeah, I've not got any work in side chat on StreamYard, but I've not got any work.
Right, it says error sending message.
Yeah, that's odd.
Right, I've just put hello. Error sending message.
Hang on a second.
I'll fill the void.
Fill the void.
Yeah, definitely. So I spent about an hour with Sean, and I wanted to get his. A lot of people heard his story of the ecstasy and the Arizona Nights and imprisonment, but I wanted to ask some deeper questions about how it might have affected his family. And I think the chat's coming up back through there. I'll press hello. There you go. Oh no.
Oh yeah, there we go. We're back. Okay, I don't know what happened there. That was wild. Welcome back, side chat. I don't know what was going on there, but I think we're back now. I can see people typing. So, well, look, that's a lie. I can see Facebook, and I can see Twitter. I don't see any YouTube.
And that way, I can't write. I keep trying to press hello. Error sending message.
Yeah, that is odd. Hang on a second.
I'll keep chatting about my interview with Sean. So I wanted to ask in more detail. Not more detail, but yeah, more detail, but some different questions.
Hang on a second, dude. Hang on a second. Yeah, there we go. Just get back to the story. People are definitely there. I can see them pushing the wee emote button. So yeah, go back. Just carry on with the story, brother. Just carry on where we left off.
Right. So, so I'll just to recap that final bit. Dave went to a gay district of Manchester. I think. Ian did. You want to go to 5:40? Yeah. Right. Okay. Hold that there. So I think Brady was probably bi at best, going off a lot of what people have said. He went to the gay village in Manchester, picked up the guy, brought him back, and he summoned Myra to go and get Dave. And this is what happened next. Press play, Maggie. And what happened was Ian Brady brought back Edward Evans. Myra was summoned to go and get Dave.
God damn it. Let's just get through the adverts. Apologize, people. My premium ran out.
I go in the house.
There you go.
She takes me into the kitchen. To the right is the living room. Straight ahead is the kitchen. It's a very small house. To the left is a set of stairs. That is the entrance hall. Into the kitchen. She opens a drawer and she takes out, I don't know, 5-6 miniature wine bottles. Puts them on the top of the cabinet. Excuse me. Wait here a minute. There's the wine. Then she goes into the living room. A minute passes, maybe 2 minutes, I don't know, a minute or so, very short time. All of a sudden, there's screaming, there's swearing, there's banging around. She screams, "Dave, Dave, help him." I go running into the living room, and Brady's got this lad whacking him and hitting him and hitting him with an axe. It's very violent. Very, very violent. The lad is on the floor. Brady's still hitting him. I think at the trial, he'd received 14 blows. It was very bad. He then strangles him. He's swearing at him. He's calling him. He's cursing him. He's calling him filthy names. And then it's over. It stops. I'm there. Hindley's there. And Brady's there. And everything has to be normal. I emphasize this, it has to be normal, or else I don't walk out of that house. Now, what steps are taken after that is purely leading up to me going out of that house. I don't care as long as I get out of that house. We wrap the body up. We carried a body upstairs. We come downstairs, and the three of us, mostly myself and Hindley, but Brady was part of it as well, cleaned up. He passes me the axe. Feel the weight of that. How did he take that? Feel the weight of that. Hindley sits down. There's a chair next to the fireplace. She says, "I saw the blow register in his eyes. He never saw anything. He never knew anything. I saw the blow register in his eyes." It's a normal conversation. I know it sounds unbelievable. It's a normal conversation. If they'd have walked in with chocolate biscuits and tea, I would have stayed and drank tea and ate chocolate biscuits. I would have done anything just to get out of that house.
And Dave,
that was wild.
That is wild. Not many people have seen that. He's done about, in fact, I think that might be like one of two interviews ever that he's done, and you've got to dive the...
I've never heard of Dave. I mean, obviously, he's a crucial part in this. But again, when I say I'm learning along with people who maybe in the side chat are learning along, Dave, like 14 blows with an axe, and then you have to be choked to death. I mean,
and then the horrors. Dave has got to act like he's all right with it. Otherwise, yeah, he knows it.
Of course.
When I first watched that, I saw it years ago. I still get chills watching Dave recount that. You can see him reliving it, can't you? And
yeah.
Kind of stutter and stuff. But what happened with him is So he became, he's got a great book. It's called Witness, Chief Prosecution Witness. It's a brilliant, brilliant book. He was attacked for daily, for life, because they thought he was part of it. Because he did agree to do the bank job. He did agree to rob him. Do you know what I mean? But he didn't know that there was going to be this absolute, you know, this slaughter. Do you know what I mean? Turned out that the lad was an apprentice, and Ian said something like, looks like he's not going to sort your financial problems out after all. Hey, Dave. If you go a little bit further, I'll tell you what, if you go to the end of that video.
Okay, mate.
There's a bit more.
Hang on, sorry. There we go. Oh, God.
Mute.
So loud, man. So loud. It just comes out of nowhere. Okay.
Would never. Is that where we are at the moment?
No, I skipped it. We were, the original one was there, then we went into this, and then it cut back to you, and yeah. I paused you on an awkward blink. Okay, and then where do you want me to go to?
Why don't we just play from, yeah, let's play from Dave's talking again.
I went in.
This is him going home.
Maureen was in bed. I got her out of bed. I went to the bath.
If you haven't already, can you please share this stream on whatever platforms you are? I really, really, me personally, I could really, it would mean a lot to me if you guys could just share it. And please do like and all that stuff and subscribe, please.
Bathroom, and I absolutely vomited to the point where I was retching, and I was in a bad state, physically in a bad state. I then had to tell her what had happened. I've just seen somebody killed. It doesn't go into any great detail. Don't be looking for detail. There isn't. You just... How do you mean? So I'm showing her my clothes. Look at me. We've got to do something. We decide we're going to the police.
So they waited. Right. If you got, I imposed. I'm getting better at editing, so I film this in a room, and then like I cut myself out and put the crime scene in the background.
Yeah, it's
just go to the very end, right?
Yeah,
and it's just when Dave I say my goodbye.
Yeah,
listen to what he says about the pair of them.
All right,
I'll see you soon.
Bye.
Peace out.
Brady, if you say...
Oh, bye.
He was 100% evil. He was every name you can put on him. He was them and more. But in all honesty, Brady slept with the devil. And that was her.
That's dark, isn't it, brother?
Interesting. So, okay. Let's just for a minute, let me just pretend like I know what the hell... What?
All right. Could people check my channel out as well after this and subscribe if you want to see more content?
Hang on, I'll get that right now for you. So technically this is an inside man, right, who witnessed all this happening, right?
Yeah.
And he is saying that she was the one. I mean, is that often what you hear, that she's named as the ringleader, so to say, or is it mainly Brady? A lot of people in the side chat have been saying that possibly he was planning to kill Myra. What's the kind of the different versions of that?
It won't surprise me if he was planning to kill Myra. I think that he wanted rid of her for whatever reason, and he thought that Dave, he got him wrong, obviously, but I think he wanted Dave involved. Maybe he was attracted to Dave.
Anyway, well, I was going to say, do you think Myra was his last attempt at going straight, shall we say? And when he realized perhaps he was more into Dave's, that was possibly the plot. Into Dave's, man.
Yeah, wow. And then obviously he fought that with Dave because of that scallywag petty crime background. I've got someone I can mold here.
Yeah, he clearly got so desensitized to murdering and abducting children that he thought, everyone who bends the law must be like me, right? And yeah. thankfully it was wrong, because I mean, who's to say what could have happened if they became a trio or whatever else had happened. It could have became a more heinous situation. I said, I'd never heard of Davis. It's interesting.
Dave Smith, he is the hero of the Moors murders. Like, now Terry, let's go back to Terry Kilbride, my dear friend, rest in peace, Terry. He said to me, again, documented in my interview, he went, she was worse than Brady. Now that's him saying it. That's Dave Smith saying it. These are people that know her.
Yeah.
They're saying that she was worse. Now, if you really, really think about it, like, she lured the kids in. She drove the car to the malls because Ian Brady couldn't even drive.
Yeah.
So yeah. This is said in the drama, The Scene of Evil, The Malls Murders. So basically, and I'm going to go into the arrests and stuff and all that in the next part, but I can briefly touch on this. They were arrested, and after a few days, they let Myra out because Brady kind of admitted to the murder of Edward Evans. Bear in mind, Dave Smith didn't have a clue. At this point, Dave Smith didn't have a clue about all the children that were murdered. Didn't have a clue. Well,
this is the thing as well. He's been taken out to their graves. Been forced to stand on it by Brady. I mean, this is all part of a bigger game. I mean, he is living in Brady world at this point, surely. And the reason I ask about the recordings and if more of them had been recorded and things like this.
Yeah.
Do you think that was more of a Myra aspect? Or do you
probably,
think that was
Myra? Because it's Myra that's heard on the tape.
Yeah.
It's Myra's... I believe, and not, it's not just... plucking a belief out of my rear end here. It's with everything I've looked into and whatnot. I believe that Myra got the kick out of the abuse of the girls and he got the kick out of the abuse of the boys.
Could it possibly be that he got to a point where maybe he didn't want a dominant partner? He wanted somebody where he was the one at the center of it all. He was the one that was going to bring this heinous act to fruition and then have someone to help clean him up. Do you think he was threatened by her superiority over these girls that he's seen and he felt challenged by that?
It's possible. She was a strong woman. Like, she was tough. And if you look at her, like...
You can tell she's tough. If this was
she's got like got that jaw. Her jawline's bigger than his.
Yeah, yeah.
She's got that big head and like I'm guessing. Apparently, like when she was younger, you know, she got started on like out on the streets, and her dad said, "Go and fight them," like you know, go and fight them kind of thing, and still
full on newly engaged female Primus look. And if you know that reference, you know. But carry on, Luke.
Yeah, so basically, let me just pull my notes back up again.
That's
so,
right.
So Dave, obviously, he went home, like you heard him say then, and he was telling Maureen what had happened, and Maureen said, "Right, how's Myra? We need to, like, how is she?" And he went, "What do you mean, how's Myra? She's part of it." And she went, "Myra?" And he went, "She's part of it." I'm telling you. He went, Dave said she would pick up bits of skull and bits of bone, throw it into a bag, not have a problem with it. She would be mopping blood up, smiling. She'd say, like, he never saw that first blow register. And then she goes and puts the kettle on or whatever. Madness. So he's there with Maureen and no, Myra's part of this. And then she said to him, could you not stop the fight? He went, it weren't a fight, it was fucking slaughter.
Yeah.
Now they're like, right, what we're gonna do here. So they decided that they were gonna go to the police. He got back in at 3 in the morning. And he was like, you would be bricking it. And he was like, how can we go to the police now? Because obviously you can't just, there's no making a call from the house.
Yeah.
He said, what if he's outside waiting for me?
Yeah.
So she said, we'll wait till it's light then. So he went out with a bread, I think it's a bread knife in the morning. Maureen and Dave went out with a bread knife in his inside jacket pocket. Went to a phone box, said there's been a murder, and they were picked up, and I think they went to Hyde police station, where Dave said that he's just witnessed a murder. And they were then called in, obviously. Brady admitted to it, said that Dave was part of it, and Dave helped clean, you know, helped clean up and all this, and he was like, I had no choice. Do you know what I mean? You had blood all over your clothes, and you went, he was murdered right in front of me. Do you know? Do you expect to be perfectly clean? Do you know what I mean?
You couldn't possibly be trying to rationalize all this as well. It'd be panic. It would be trauma. It would be shock. It would be fear. It would be so much unknown territory as a human with how to process this. So I imagine his mind was going 1,000 miles an hour, 100%.
Now, I'm just going to go on to how this kind of investigation is slightly, how it kind of unfolded, right, initially, going off Dave's, like, Dave's testimony, if you will, at the police station. So, that was it. This is very important. So, what happened was, the police turned up at Brady and Hindley's house, and the police officer was dressed up as a baker, as to not frighten them.
Yeah, undercover.
Yeah, undercover, yeah. And she said, we don't have bread, or something like that. Well, but you do now, kind of. Right, the police were coming in. And Brady was just lying on the sofa, kind of feet up. He'd done his ankle in. They believed that when he first struck Edward with the axe, he'd actually hit himself in the ankle. You know what I mean? By accident.
Yeah.
Wobbling about and stuff. And then they said, want to look around, and I think he just
hang on, you're breaking up a little bit, Luke. Just give it a second, bro.
Yeah.
Whilst Luke's coming back from the shadow realm, if you guys can all like and subscribe, make sure you're doing that. We've got more shows coming tonight, and Luke, I think you're back. Say something, mate.
Hello.
Yeah, you're good. Carry on.
Yeah, so Ian said to Myra, give them the key. So they went upstairs, unlocked a bedroom, and Edward Evans was wrapped up. And Brady admitted to it, and they charged him with murder. Wow. But this is very, 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 very important.
Okay.
Found a book in Brady's house. Now, there's a police officer who needs a good shout out, and Terry from above would appreciate this. Inspector Mousy is the one that would not give up on. There was missing children of the time. There was Pauline Reed, all the children I've mentioned. John Kilbride became a real project for Inspector Mousy. He really wanted to find John Kilbride.
Okay.
And he reopened. It was kind of closed the case in 2 years, and he reopened the case.
You're breaking up a little bit again, bro. Is something opened on your system?
Just one second, hold on.
Yeah, go and check for me, mate. I'm going to go and just check the actual stream and see if it's just you or if it's the whole stream. No, it's just you. That's fine. All right, well, listen, everybody. We are, I'm fascinated by all this. I didn't know about Dave. And to be honest, I never knew there was a witness to it all. And it just seems you have to ask yourself, because Brady said he wanted to do the perfect crime. And I think his perfect crime
was the perfect murder.
Well, yeah, but in his eyes, the perfect murder You could argue that Dave was selected to do exactly what he'd done. Put an end to it and let Brady go to prison and have this power over this family, withholding information that can bring closure until the day he died on his victim's birthday.
No, I really think that he thought he had someone in Dave. He just got him wrong. Yeah.
Also, highly possible. You are breaking up again really badly, bro.
I'm gonna change Wi-Fi to 4G.
Yeah. Do that. Well, we're all doing that, everybody. If you didn't know, okay? If you did not know, I am live every day with The Daily Show. Okay, have a look at this little promo.
Gotta fucking do this again. Wake up the office demons. Testing my patience. Let's not get fired today.
So yeah, come and watch me. Yeah, come and visit us every day.
Is that tomorrow, better?
Yeah, perfect. Our tomorrow's episode's at 2:00. We have Paula M and Megan's Mole, and the thumbnail will be up and all that stuff. So let's carry on, Luke. You're back from the shadow realm now.
Yeah, I think because of the weather, the Wi-Fi is shocking.
Okay, well,
so this should be better. I got me 5G, whatever's on 4.5. Where was I then, though?
Yeah, a book that was found.
The book, right. So Inspector Mousey was like, he reopened the John Kilbride missing case.
Yeah.
Now, there's a book found in Brady's house, and it had lots of names written down. It had, like, famous people's names, like Alex Guinness and others, but also it had the name of John Kilbride.
Yeah, okay.
John Kilbride's name was in there. Now, the police that arrested Brady for the murder, Inspector Mousey, the police that arrested Dave, Ian, sorry, they then showed Mousey this book, and he said, John Kilbride. So, he had a link here now of who could have killed John, basically. Now, other police forces were saying, well, it doesn't really matter now, does it? They'll get life for killing Edward Evans.
Yeah.
And Mousey, who Terry has so much respect for, Mousey said, well, what about John Kilbride and other children that are missing? You know what I mean? Like, what about them? Mm-hmm. He goes, irrelevant, they'll get life now. So then he went on this mission then to link them together. And it was Mousey's hard work, which then started to uncover evidence of children buried on the moors. And this is where it all starts to come out, which is what I want to kind of say for the next. Well,
listen, I was going to say, that's a great point to stop on, because we've got also as well, I would strongly suggest that you move your Sean interview to after True Crime Crime Theory tomorrow night, because we're about to go straight in with the McCanns after this, and I think you'd probably get more of a slam dunk if we, can follow on from Alive to that, if that makes sense for you, bro.
What have you got on after this?
McCann theories that should have been yesterday, but I was away seeing my little brother, who I've not seen in about 20 years, and here is the two of us sitting in a fancy restaurant opening Pokemon cards. Okay, just the nerdism is real. So yeah,
it was good. I don't know what to do now, because I've got my audience that are waiting for it, you see.
Well, I would just go and find how long is the interview?
50 minutes, I think.
All right, do you know what I'm going to do? It's 22. I'm going to move mine to past, and that gives exactly about 50 minutes.
Well, mine starts at 8:15.
Nah, it's going to start as soon as this finishes.
I can just start it, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to start as soon as this finishes. So right, okay, then,
we'll do that then. If you go over to my channel quick, if you don't mind, Ron.
Hang on a second, I'm doing the maths. Hang on a second. 8:30, 20 minutes. Yeah, that's fine. So that's all set up. Over to your channel, please, Ron. Yes, we can. Atwood Interview. Grab that. Take this. ping the link, done that. Wicked. Okay, so great episode. We'll pick up exactly where we left off this week. Luke, thank you so, so much. I just want to say apologies to Luke, his audience, and everyone. I feel like this series has been very rushed from my part. I've got very little to contribute. And I just want to say how much I appreciate you coming and giving us all this knowledge and taking us through this, Luke. And you're doing really, really well with it. So
I don't mind taking the reins with this. This is kind of the case I've deep dived for many years. Yeah. So I'm fine with it. Next, just quickly, next episode, I'll go into the uncovering, the evidence, the bodies being found, the trial, all that kind of stuff. If you, so everybody, if you go over to Break the Ice.
I've posted the link for you guys. Luke has done an interview with Sean. I want to go and watch it. So if it's about 50 minutes long, we'll make the whole thing, but we need to go now. So jump over there. Thank you all for watching. Make sure you're subscribed. I will see you on the Daily Show tomorrow. The spicy drama just continues. And I just want to say thank you everyone for being here, supporting me, supporting Luke, supporting Sean. You are the best. And we will see
subscribe
you.
Subscribe to both channels, guys.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Don't go watch his stuff and then not subscribe. Who does that? Like, just subscribe.
Oh, love you all.
Peace.
Right.